From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? It is Thursday. Happy Thursday from all of us here at Current Sports. I am your host, as always, Al Martin. We have a fantastic show in store for you all. Hey, if you're a Kansas City Royals fan out there, hey, congratulations to you. 29 years. 29 years is a long, long time. Yes, KC go to the World Series. We'll talk about it. We'll also kind of dive into and give a mini preview of Big Ten basketball as some rankings have come out today. Also, some sad news concerning Joe Louis Arena. And also, I'm excited about this interview, Eric Doc Love, yes, high school sports color analyst for 92.1 Big Country FM, will join me to talk all things high school football, all of that, including Throwback Thursday, and so much more. Don't touch that dial, folks. But before we get to all of that craziness, here, as custom on the show, are your current sports quick hit headliners, brought to you by Eric Steen.
Welcome to Current Sports. This is Eric Steen, and here are your quick hit headliners for October 16, 2014. DeWitt and East Lansing earned the right to play for the Division II boys soccer title yesterday. DeWitt defeated St. John's 1-0, and East Lansing beat Hazlitt 4-2 in overtime. The teams play for the championship Saturday at 4 p.m. The Red Wings fell to the Bruins 3-2 in shootouts last night. The Red Wings were outshot 39-20 in the loss, but managed to pick up a point thanks to goaltender Jimmy Howard's stellar play. He made big stops all night, including three crucial ones in overtime. The loss snapped a three-game losing streak for the Bruins. The city of Detroit, with financial help from the state, plans to demolish the Joe Louis Arena and give the land to a creditor for development as part of a major settlement in the city's bankruptcy case, lawyers said Thursday. The Red Wings are already planning to move to a new home a few miles away. The arena and a parking garage would be demolished, giving the company financial guarantee, nearly 9 acres for a hotel, condominiums, office space, or retail development. The state of Michigan has agreed to provide $6 million for demolition, which likely would start in 2017. The Kansas City Royals defeated the Baltimore Orioles 2-1 to sweep the series and win the AL pennant. They are headed back to the World Series for the first time since 1985. The Royals carry an 11-game playoff win streak dating back to 1985, one shy of the major league record. That includes their first 8 this postseason, something that had never been done in history. Kansas City beat Oakland in a 12-inning wildcard thriller to start things off, then swept the LA Angels in the division series. On the NL side, the Giants have taken a 3-1 lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, winning 6-4 behind Buster Posey's 3 RBI and shaky defense by Cardinals first baseman Matt Adams. The Giants look to win the series tonight behind the arm of red-hot pitcher Madison Bumgarner. He will oppose Adam Wainwright. The Giants are seeking their third World Series title in 5 years. The Spartans were selected to finish number 2 in the conference in the Big Ten preseason media poll released Thursday morning. Michigan State was picked behind Wisconsin, the unanimous choice as favorite after a Final Four appearance. Ohio State rounded out the top 3. The conference only releases the top 3 teams for this poll. Wisconsin's Frank Kaminsky was selected as the conference's preseason player of the year. No Spartans were picked to the 5-member preseason all-conference team. MSU has been picked as high as number 2 and as low as number 9 in the conference in a slew of preseason predictions. In a different media poll assembled by the Columbus Dispatch and released Wednesday, the Spartans were picked 3rd and the Wolverines 5th. This morning, Big Ten coaches and media polls at the conference's media day selected MSU's women's basketball team to finish 2nd, in the Big Ten preseason poll. The Spartans returned 3 starters from last year's team that finished 23-10 and shared the Big Ten regular season crown with Penn State. Maryland was picked the preseason favorite. Robert Griffin III returned to practice Wednesday for the Washington football team, and coach Jay Gruden confirmed that the third-year quarterback will regain the starter's job this season. Gruden said, quote, "Once they say he's healthy and he practices with us, and we feel like he's ready to go mentally, and we have a good game plan for him, then he'll be the starter. But I don't know when that'll be yet. It's hard for me to project. It could be 1 week, 2 weeks, it Could be 5 weeks. Michigan State men's and women's tennis begin play in the Intercollegiate Tennis Association Regional Championships today. For the men, four players have qualified for the singles main draw, with John Patrick Mullen earning the number 8 seed. The first round of the main draw for singles will begin on Friday. The women play at the University of Illinois with four Spartans in the qualifying singles bracket, two in the singles main draw, and three doubles teams in the main draw. The ladies will be joined by 26 other schools in the Midwest region, including five Big Ten foes in Illinois, Michigan, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. Other notable teams competing include DePaul, IPFW, Marquette, and Notre Dame. MSU's 16th-ranked men's soccer team defeated Western Michigan at home last night with a 4-0 win. MSU improves its record to 8-2-2 on the season and will face Big Ten leader Penn State at 7 p.m. on Saturday. As for the women's team, Michigan State heads into the weekend on a 2-game winning streak after knocking off Nebraska 3-1 and Purdue 2-0 in recent games. The Spartans will look to improve on their overall record of 8-5-1 when they welcome in Ohio State tonight and Big Ten leader Penn State as well on Sunday afternoon. Those are your quick hit headliners for October 16, 2014. Now over to Al to kick off the show.
Eric, thanks a lot, my man. Again, our phone lines are now open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can call in and give your thoughts on anything that we discussed today, or if you got any comments on our headliners. A lot going on. Today was just a jam-packed day when it comes to sports news, with the Red Wings falling to the Bruins, news about the Joe being demolished, which broke around 2 a.m. this morning. The Royals heading to the World Series, MSU, you know, basketball preseason polls. I mean, so much going on, a lot going on. We're going to try and cover all our bases on today's show. And again, the number to call in to weigh in on anything that we talk about today is 517-355-9527. You also know that you can go the social media route and leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKAR_sports. We have a great show in store for you all. But before, you know, we dive into today's show, I definitely want to bring up two stories here I found interesting. Shout out to Lansing Community College, folks, specifically their college volleyball team. LCC moved up two spots to 18th in this week's National Junior College Association poll. Gotta love that. The Stars are 19-4 overall, 9-3 in the MCCAA Western Conference. They have qualified for both the MCCAA and NJCAA District E tournament. So congrats to Lansing Community College, making some headway and turning some heads in the world of college volleyball. And I found this story interesting too, folks. I tell you what, this Ebola virus is getting so much traffic. So much, I mean, and deservedly so, because we haven't seen really a disease of this proportion. I guess you can kind of compare it to the AIDS epidemic, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it seems as though everybody is talking about it. I was watching the news yesterday after work about a woman who actually had a flight to Akron, Ohio, who was diagnosed with Ebola. There's protocol to not let anyone on the plane if they have a fever of about, I believe it was 101 or above. Hers was around 90-something. They still let her on the plane. It turns out she did have Ebola, and I tell you what, things hit the fan. So, I mean, it's an epidemic that is certainly, certainly concerning. President Obama, I saw some a presser from him talking about it yesterday and how serious it is. You know, this was a disease that, you know, ideally was just... It didn't really concern America, because there was no one diagnosed here in America with the disease. But, you know, now there have been a few cases, and, you know, people are getting a little nervous. And, you know, so much so that it certainly hit the NFL world. Of course, You know, there's a lot of traveling that goes on with athletics, you know, whether it be college, whether it be, you know, the pros. And so much so that the NFL has decided to get involved, and they have alerted, you know, their team trainers and players about Ebola, which I thought was really interesting. And, you know, the Associated Press reported it. The league has sent out an informational letter to all team doctors and trainers that contains basic facts about the Ebola virus so that they can pass on the memo to their players. Now, the NFL said the letter was written by the Duke Infection Control Outreach Network, which consults the league on infectious diseases. Now, you know, just for an example, the New York Giants, who play in Dallas, where two nurses have contracted the disease after treating a man from Liberia who had it. The Giants will play Dallas this week. They don't seem really concerned about the virus. You know, here's a quote from Eli Manning, New York, you know, Giants quarterback Eli Manning. Quote, "No, I don't worry about myself or the team. I think what we're doing, what we're saying, I think we'll be okay." So we hope it stays that way. And, you know, for anyone out there, just make sure, you know, especially if you're traveling on planes and whatnot, you got to be concerned. Wash those hands. And if you're sick, you know, don't show up to work, okay? We don't want to be spreading germs. I know right now is flu season, and with Ebola, you know, really becoming one of the main conversations in our society today, hey, you know, just be mindful. Just be mindful, folks. Oh, boy. But again, folks, we have a great current sports show for you today. In just a moment, later on in the hour, around the 1:30 mark, we're going to talk all things high school football with my man. I guess I can call him my unofficial partner whenever I do a play-by-play broadcast. 92.1 Big Country always hits me up, and Eric Doc Love is always my color analyst. He does a great job, outstanding job. Him and, of course, friend of current sports, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts. When the Lugnuts and Luggies aren't in season, Jesse is also, you know, on the mic doing play-by-play games for whether it be a high school football game every week or high school basketball when basketball season starts. I tell you what, Eric and Jesse, if you haven't heard them, they do one remarkable job on a weekly basis. So Eric Doc Love will be joining me to talk all things high school football. He'll talk about a pretty big matchup that's taking place this Friday. You know, it really decides the champion in the CAAC. Well, it's not the CMAC. It's going to be a big, big match. We'll talk about those teams and what this match could mean, and also get Eric's predictions on both of them. And for all you Sparty fans out there, the green and white fans out there, Eric is a very avid and very vocal U of M fan. So I'm going to dive into how he, first of all, became a U of M fan. And yes, the peril that this Michigan, you know, football team has been going through this season, even though they get a huge win on Saturday to sort of, you know, salvage some sort of momentum for the Wolverines. We'll dive into that. We'll have a lot of fun during that chat, so you do not want to miss that. Also, later on in the show, we'll dive into Throwback Thursday. It is a busy Throwback Thursday, folks. A lot has happened on this Thursday in sports history. You do not want to miss any of it. And yes, I'll continue my conversation that I sort of started at the end of last year, yesterday's show concerning the Ryder Cup Task Force and what this could mean for the game of golf and what this says about the state of golf here in America. You do not want to miss that conversation. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in on any of it, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Right now, the man behind the glass joins me, the always ecstatic, always with a smile on his face, Alex Shark. How you doing?
Al, I never thought I'd see the day that the Kansas City Royals made the World Series.
I felt the same way.
Is the world falling down? Is the world falling down?
I'm telling you, man. And that kicks off our first discussion point, if you will. The Kansas City Royals. Yes, it has taken, Alex, 29 years for this moment to happen. You know, did you catch any of the game yesterday?
I did. I saw it.
I watched it all last night, and I'm sitting there. Or it was actually kind of like a mid-evening game, and I'm watching it, and I'm sitting there like, this is unbelievable. They're really about to do this. I thought at least, what really blows my mind, not only has it taken 29 years for the Royals to get back to the World Series, but the way they're doing it is just magical. It's unbelievable. I mean, they have not lost in the playoffs
yet. No wild card team does that.
No wild card team. It's unbelievable. They won 8 straight. And to put it in perspective, here's a fun fact here. The Royals haven't lost in the postseason. I can say this. The Royals haven't lost in the postseason since 1985. They have not lost a postseason game since the 80s, folks. They've won 8 straight this season, and if you piggyback off of the last time they went to the playoffs back in 1985, you add 3 to that, that makes 11 straight wins in the postseason for the Kansas City Royals. And you know what? I have to, you know, really talk about this because this is really something that, you know, when I talk about magic for this team, it is the stars have certainly aligned in so many regards for the Kansas City Royals. The first star to align, of course, they get in the playoffs and as a wild card pick, and they end up winning that game over the Athletics. They get in the playoffs, and not only do they get in, their second round opponent is, of course, not the Tigers. The Tigers were a team all year that completely owned the Kansas City Royals. And if you're a Tigers fan, I mean, you kind of, I said it yesterday, you have to shake your head a little bit here because you could have had an opportunity to play a team that you pretty much owned all season. Now, granted, you know, it's hard to say what would have happened if the Tigers would have played the Royals in the postseason just because the Royals have been, you know, it seems as though just destiny is on their side. But, you know, they luck out and don't play a team that's, you know, just beat their butt all year, and they play, you know, the Orioles, they sweep them. And just looking at yesterday's game, Alex, and how they were able to get those runs, you know, to cross the plate. I mean, it's really remarkable. Just to sort of run down their magic just from yesterday. I mean, they get their runs on an infield grounder, a hit by pitch, bunt, fielder's choice, and a catcher's error. Can you believe? I mean, it's not like they're banging out home runs here. This is, you know, ideally small ball based on moments in which the opposition can't capitalize. I mean, truly remarkable stuff. And really, how can you not like the Royals? How can you not root for this team? I know, yeah, there's a lot of Tigers fans out there that are truly salty. They felt as though they should have been in the World Series. But if there's any team that you do root for outside of your Detroit Tigers fandom, how can it not be the Kansas City Royals? A team who hasn't been to the World Series in 29 years. This isn't a team, even though they're called the Kansas City Royals. They are not baseball royalty, okay? They are not like the New York Yankees or the Mets or some sort of powerhouse in the league. This is a team that's certainly blue collar, that has a fan base that is very loyal. They are very loyal to the Royals. And, I mean, looking at the reaction from the fans, I was sitting, you know, in my car, you know, listening to Sirius XM and just listening to fans from all across the nation, not Royals fans, but fans all across the nation call on various sporting radio shows and just voice how happy they are that this team has made it to the World Series. I was listening to one account. One fellow was from, I believe it was from like Illinois, not a Royals fan at all. He's a truck driver. And he was talking about how he was just listening to that game, and when that moment happened, he shed some tears. And he's not even a Kansas City Royals fan. I mean, this is a team that if you're going to root for one team in the league, you got to root for them because, my goodness, it seems like destiny, and they haven't sniffed the World Series in so long. I'm happy. It's a joy to watch, Alex.
It's nice to watch. Them and the Orioles, honestly. The Orioles were kind of in the same boat, Al. They were overshadowed in the AL East for years, just like the Royals. So the idea of at least one of those two teams being in the World Series is an amazing fact itself. But overall, Al, during the year against the Orioles, the Kansas City Royals were pretty close. They had a 2-game split in May. In April, they barely edged them out 2-1. So it's not like this was a cakewalk by any means. They just played really well. And my message out of the day, and I want to echo this to many Tigers fans out here to make it local, is that this Kansas City team has stuck with their main core of guys for years. They've had Billy Butler since 2007. They've had Moustakas, Hosmer, a lot of pitchers since the later 2000s. So for Tiger fans who are saying, yeah, this was their chance, they had the best team this year, they have their core, hold on a second, because if Kansas City can stick with guys for 7 and 8 years through the thick and thin of last place year by year and be able to reach a World Series with some of those same core guys that they started with 7, 8 years ago, that means a lot. And I think for Tiger fans, they do have a better core than Kansas City had 7, 8 years ago with Cabrera, with Verlander, although he's been weird lately, he's been a little bad.
I like it. You're weird. He's been weird lately. I like that.
But with Cabrera, with Verlander, with their consistent hitters that they have, maybe scratch Avila, but overall, they can do it. So don't lose faith, is what I'm saying, with the window.
That was kind of like a locker room speech, Alex. That was, you know, like, hey, even though we're down and out.
I've been eager to get off my chest this week, man.
I like that. That was, you could, you know, they put you in Remember the Titans,
hey,
brother. That was pretty good.
I got to talk to DeAndre Carter about Sharks motivational moment.
DC, did you hear that? You know, put that on a t-shirt, man. That's great stuff. You know, but looking at the Royals and how they've been able to win games, though, it's been great. I think this, you know, the proof is in the pudding here when looking at the Royals. And the pudding has three ingredients, if you will. Superb bullpen. Kansas City's bullpen has been outstanding throughout this entire playoffs.
Even without Soria.
Exactly, right? Exactly. They've been unbelievable. You can count on this bullpen to come in if they have the lead. You're confident that they're going to close out the game, and they did that last night. And how about the defense? Did you see Alex Gordon's, you know, in left field catch over the shoulder, run into the gate? I mean, that's just Alex Gordon has been one of the best defenders in all of the league. But, I mean, it just shows you. Guys like Alex Gordon, Lorenzo Cain, who was the ALCS MVP. He was named MVP last night. And hopefully I don't butcher this name. Am I saying this right, Alex? Narashika Aoki?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, that's
well
pretty
done.
Good. Hey,
well
I thought I was going to butcher that. I was talking to our intern, Jazzy. I'm going to butcher this name on the air. But anyway, I mean, guys like that, I mean, they have been outstanding. The solid defense, superb bullpen, and timely hitting have been the three areas that the Kansas City Royals have been outstanding in. A-plus in all of those areas for me. So, I mean, and that's the recipe. And that's the thing. If you look at the Tigers, though, that was the exact opposite for this team.
They didn't have a solid bullpen.
They didn't have solid defense either. The defense was ranked among the last in the league. You cannot win with a suspect bullpen and suspect defense, Alex, in this league. Period.
Now, the biggest bright spot, which we haven't talked about, did you see Paul Rudd after the game celebrating on the field? He invited the fans over to his mom's house.
I read about it. I did not see that, though.
Royals fan. It's a great interview, man. But it's funny because you hear a lot that, you know, think about it. They got two teams. They have the Chiefs and they have the Royals. That's it. So, like you said, a very loyal fan base, they kind of have to keep the team there. And if you look back 2 years ago, there were a lot of conversations about the Royals possibly moving. I don't know if you remember that, Al, but...
Oh, I do remember that.
That was a conversation at some point.
Right.
So this got fans up in arms, you know, 2 years ago. And for this year, to Paul Rudd, you know, to get the exposure that they've been getting, like, who knew Paul Rudd was a diehard Royals fan?
Mm-hmm.
I was texting my friend actually the other day who lives in Kansas City.
Right.
And he lives two blocks away from the ballpark.
Right, right.
And I asked him, you know, what's it like? What's it like going down there? He said, you know what? I haven't been out too much, but what I do know is that everywhere you walk around town, someone's talking about the Royals right now.
It's unbelievable. And deservingly so. I mean, when you wait 29 years, I mean, since the 80s, and you finally get to a World Series, I mean, my goodness. I mean, I can just imagine the sigh of relief. But, you know, now it's just about not getting complacent now, even though the Royals, which is hard to do because, you know, as players and as, you know, general fans, I mean, you haven't been here in that long. Now you kind of have to put that in the back burner now, put it in the back of your mind and go out there and try to win the World Series now.
Right.
Just getting there can't be enough. Maybe it is enough for some fans. And I see that aspect to it, too. But now, as players, hey, you got to be foaming at the mouth because now you had a golden opportunity to win this thing now.
Yeah, and they're kind of like the Tigers, like in 2006 when Maglio and them, they were the wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
They made their first World Series in years two. Then they got swept. You know, they got maybe a little bit complacent.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the five games. For the Royals, the Giants and Cardinals, you know, Giants are up 3-1, but maybe the Cardinals can take one, drag out the series a little, more time to rest. But with the resting time, you're right, Al. That's the key. You can't get complacent with that.
No, not at all. And it looks as though we will probably see a Royals and, you know, Giants World Series because the Giants, of course, took a 3-1 lead on the Cardinals in the NLCS. They played outstanding last night as well. All right, let's keep this train moving now. Let's talk a little Big Ten basketball. You know, I'm looking here, and, you know, as Eric Steem said in our Quick Hit Headliners, MSU is ranked third. In the preseason Big Ten basketball writers poll, which ranks schools, of course, 1 through 14. Michigan State ranked third. Michigan ranked fifth. You know, the Spartans, of course, were picked third and the Wolverines fifth in the poll of 27 writers who covering the conference's 14 teams. It included, you know, Detroit Free Press, U of M beat writer Mark Snyder, and also, yeah, a friend of the show, MSU beat writer Joe Rexroth. He also participated. Now, when looking at this rankings, though, I have to, before we hit the first break, Alex, I just think, there's a lot of rankings that come out, and when it comes to any sport, but you just never know. We really don't know how good these teams are going to be. I mean, that's why I kind of smirk at the rankings when I see them, you know, before the season. I remember, I always go back to last year when, remember, Mitch McGarry was named on the national all-first team. I'm sitting there like, what? Really? And you see what happened with that. You know, he gets injured, didn't even really play last year. But, you know, that's why I say with the preseason, you just never know. But and I truly think that, you know, MSU basketball is going to be better than expected this season. A lot of people feel as though, of course, they're going to take a step back, losing, you know, really, you know, three prolific players in Keith Appling, who was, you know, who emerged as a great, solid player and even solid leader as the season, you know, as year to year to year for him in Keith Appling. You know, Adrian Payne, who was just out of his mind last year, Gary Harris, you know, those three alone, you know, now not being components of this team, of course, yeah, you're going to take a bit of a hit. But I believe guys like Denzel Valentine, Travis Trice, Brandon Dawson, who starting with the Big Ten tournament last season, really started to show that, yeah, this guy has a tremendous upside. You know, even Gavin Schilling, Matt Costello. All of those guys maturing, getting better in the offseason, I think they will be integral components. And how about, you know, having Bryn Forbes, the transfer? You know, how about that? You know, he used to play, of course, with Denzel Valentine, a former high school teammate of Valentine's back in high school for Lansing Sexton. He's now with the team. And everything I'm reading about, you know, Lou Rawls, Tum Narwin, which I love. I'm going to have some creative things. When I'm calling highlights of MSU basketball season this year, I'm going to have some creative lines for Tum. That's just a heck of a nickname. Got to love that. But everything I'm reading about Lou Rawls, Tum Narwin is just off the charts. I mean, this is a kid who, you know, is fast. He has a lot of speed. He's very physical. And you know, just his overall demeanor exudes leadership. I can't wait to see this kid play. I'm very excited. Of course, Tum being from Wichita, Kansas. You know, everything I'm reading about him seems to be great. I can't wait for this season to start. And how can you doubt Izzo? This is Tom Izzo we're talking about. This is one of the best coaches, a shoe-in for the Basketball Hall of Fame here. Tom Izzo is going to turn a lot of heads like he does every year. Michigan State is certainly going to be a contender. So MSU being third, we could be, you know, as the season kicks off and as, you know, goes week to week to week, we could be talking about MSU being number one in the Big Ten. Or we could be talking about the exact opposite. We just never know. I really thought it was interesting how Caris LeVert, though, was named to the All-Big Ten first team. How about that? And I think that's deservingly so. Caris LeVert is an animal. I thought in many occasions, you know, without Caris, I mean, that Michigan team was not, it didn't roll. Caris LeVert came in, he showed that he can score in various aspects on that Michigan basketball team. Even defensively, he started to become better and better. I think he deserves to be on that preseason first team. If you're going to look at just production of last year, Caris was one of the best players in the Big Ten last year, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was. To the Michigan State point, and Tom Izzo said this in his media day stuff that I'm sure you went to, Al, the thing that stuck out that Izzo said was, he didn't have leaders last year. He finally has his leaders this year. And that's a big statement because there was more talent on the court with Harris, Payne, you know, you can go on and on, Appling and a lot of the other guys they had. The talent was there, but for whatever reason, Izzo felt more comfortable picking captains this year with Valentine and Trice and them being the vocal leaders. What do you think about that, Al?
Well, as far as captains are concerned, well, first off, I think it's a bit overrated. I don't think a team has to have a captain or a captain named in order to be successful. Some teams do. I mean, some teams, you know, having that guy that you look at and says, yes, that's our guy, it kind of bodes into that leadership aspect where it helps a team. But you don't need a captain to win, in my eyes. Denzel Valentine, according to many players and many personnel on that MSU men's basketball team, Denzel Valentine was very vocal last season. Even though there were no captains named, Valentine, in many regards, acted like a leader. You know, I remember Tom Izzo on a few occasions coming in after a game, you know, during his presser, he would say, yeah, Valentine said something at halftime that really got us going. And, you know, Valentine, he's always shown. He's always been vocal. He's always been a guy who's not afraid to voice his opinion on what's going wrong. So I'm not surprised at all that Valentine was named the captain this season. As far as the leadership goes, I mean, you know, Valentine, I think, is going to emerge and get better. You know, and it just is, that's just a natural thing. For any leader that's named a captain, the more experience you have at it, year to year to year, you're going to get better because you're going to learn how to motivate guys. And motivating your fellow teammates is a day-to-day process. You learn that kind of stuff in practice. You learn what triggers certain players. I mean, that just comes with team chemistry. And Valentine is a guy who certainly has his ear close to that aspect. So, you know, I'm really looking to see, you know, guys like Valentine and Trice emerge as those guys and really lead this team. It's going to be an exciting year. And, again, you can't tell too much right now because we haven't seen this team play. We haven't even been, you know, to Midnight Madness yet, you know, which starts next week. So, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You can only – that's why I don't make predictions until I really have seen this team maybe in that first game. Maybe I can say something.
You.
But right now it's just too premature for me.
Last point. For Michigan, on the other side, Michigan State, that's the thing. There's a lot of confidence with Izzo moving forward. It's an Izzo team at the end of the day. But for Michigan, Zach Irvin, I think, is the dark horse for them, Al. Mm-hmm. Zach Irvin.
Yeah.
He had a great year as a freshman.
Yeah, Zach was great
last
year.
Played in a lot
of
games.
Yeah.
And as much as Caris LeVert is the kind of that superstar with them and the production, he's a guy to look out for, I think, with a lot of upside.
Certainly. All right, let's hit our first break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk with Eric Doc Love, high school color analyst for 92.1 Big Country FM. Don't touch that dial. We're talking high school sports in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, yes, it's Thursday. And no, we don't just talk about Throwback Thursday here on the show. I have to mention that Current Sports TV airs tonight, as it does each and every Thursday at 10 o'clock on WKAR-TV. I will be sitting down with Jamel Hill of ESPN's Numbers Never Lie. Of course, Jamel is a Communication Arts and Sciences alumni here at Michigan State. She graduated with her degree in journalism in 1997 and has gone on to now work, yes, for the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. So, you know, Jamel was in town because she was actually named as the Grand Marshal of Michigan State's homecoming. Got a chance to steal a bit of her time, about an hour of her time. Many folks came out to the taping. Shout out to all of you who did come out to the taping. We had a great audience, one of the most highly attended Current Sports TV tapings of all time. Thanks a lot for all of you who came out. But you get to see that taping tonight at 10 p.m. I'll be sitting down with Jamel to talk about her career, her thoughts on domestic violence in sports, and so much more. Again, if 10 p.m. is a little bit past your bedtime, there's a thing called DVR. Make sure you DVR it, or you can also catch it on video.wkar.org. After it airs, it will be posted there just like we do each and every Current Sports TV episode. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports Radio Show. Now, he is a good friend of mine. I guess I can call him my unofficial partner whenever I call a high school game, whether it be basketball or football. He does a great job. Him and Jesse Goldberg-Strassler over at 92.1 Big Country FM. Of course, Jesse is the play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts, but when high school season kicks off, Eric joins his side to do some unbelievable calls on the air. If you haven't heard him, you got to tune in. Eric Doc Love, high school sports color analyst for 92.1 now, joins me. Eric, how you doing, my man?
Good, L, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. It is certainly a pleasure. Now, you know what? This is really just blowing my mind here, Eric. I'm looking here and just looking at the schedules for various teams throughout the year. I really can't believe it's about to be week 8 in the high school football season. I mean, how crazy is that, man?
It seems like we were just kicking off a couple weeks ago. Wasn't it just Labor Day? And it feels like it was August not that long ago when we were kicking off with St. John's and East Lansing. You called that game with me on that one.
Yeah.
It was a good one, too. And yeah, I know. I can't believe that the playoffs are going to be in 2 weeks already.
That's insane in the membrane, my brother. Now, you know, so far, with it being week 8, we're certainly in the thick and thin. The season's almost a wrap for high school football in the area. But, you know, overall, what teams have really surprised you the most this year, Doc?
Well, Lansing Catholic has really stuck out this year. They're 7-0 right now. Coach Ahern has done a great job with that squad. And the Cougars, I mean, they dominated last week against Williamston, and they're going to win that CAAC White. They've really stood out for me this season. Coming in, they were kind of maybe an underdog against Portland. The Raiders have been kind of owning that CAAC White, but Lansing Catholic, here they are, 7-0, already made it into the playoffs. You get that automatic qualifier when you get six wins, and they've done a terrific job this year.
Yes, certainly, and they certainly clinched that CAAC White title on Friday as they get a big win over Williamston. I believe it was like 50-14 in that game. I mean, with those two teams matching up and, you know, both of them approaching, you know, that game undefeated, really playing for that title, were you surprised at how Lansing Catholic was really able to dominate Williamston throughout that game?
Yeah, I think we all thought it was going to be a close game. We thought it would be back and forth. Probably, you know, whoever had the ball last possession might win that game, but now, Lansing Catholic, they took care of business early against Williamston, and they really sealed that one up, too. It was quite a surprise, Al.
Yes, certainly. Now, in the red division, the CAAC Red, DeWitt has just completely dominated. They are 7-0 with their closest loss coming against that run-heavy offense of St. John's. I mean, what makes the Panthers so good? Because each and every year, it seems as though, I mean, Rob Zimmerman has that team rolling on all cylinders.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who is playing for him, too, because Jacob Johnson, their star quarterback, actually got hurt against Hazlitt the week before that St. John's game, and we called that Red Wings-Panthers game, and he didn't even play. It was a close game. They just had the next guy fill in for him, Chase McPhee, the junior quarterback, kind of stepped up. They changed their offense. They kind of went from, like, a spread, passed the ball around to you got full back, you know, a full house backfield back there. You got a bunch of backs back there. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't matter who Zimmerman has, he just kind of fills somebody in, and they get the job done. I think that's 9 straight years they have won the conference championship now, as DeWitt. So, yeah, they took care of business against St. John's, and then they win another CAAC Red. They're going into the playoffs, and they've been without their star quarterback the last 2 weeks, but it doesn't matter. They just keep rolling.
Yeah, and Doc, I mean, you talk about nine straight conference championships, as you just alluded to. I mean, how in the world is Rob able to put together a consistently good team, even with the turnover rate of having seniors on your squad in the high school level? I mean, what makes Rob such a great coach, and what makes that Panther program so good?
Well, they start young. They start the kids young, and they teach them the same system every way, all the way up, every level up. So you get the young kids running the same offense and the same defensive looks that Zimmerman is going to give them when they get up there to the varsity. So you're starting early, you're building your way up, you get to JV. If you're good enough in JV, they might bring you up to varsity if you learn the system well enough. And they got some guys, like I said, it's just next man up, Al. They just find somebody else to fill in. They lost a lot of guys to graduation last year that were just big targets catching the ball. And it doesn't really matter. They just kind of change the offense a little bit. They make some adjustments, and they just win ball games.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And I remember, you know, we had Rob on the show not too long ago, you know, actually before the season started. And he was talking about, you know, how this team is ideally foaming at the mouth to eventually win that state championship. They came so close on the field of course, Ford Field down downtown Detroit, so close to winning one. I mean, you know, do you think this may be the year?
I don't know. Last year, we thought last year was the year, honestly. They had a really good team. They had all those weapons on offense. And you think, well, I don't know, they got a chance against the Zealand West team. I know they're a bigger squad, but they just, you know, it was a close one. It came down to the last few seconds of that ball game. But this year, I don't know. It depends on the health of Jake Johnson. If he can get back to being healthy and being the quarterback that they expect him to be, they might be able to. They got some really good running backs, Ben Heinrich, Shonquise Trainer, who had transferred in from Lansing Eastern. Mm-hmm. And they can run the ball really well this year. They haven't really been able to pass the ball. So I don't know. We'll have to see how the health of Johnson is, if they can actually make another deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly time will tell. Eric Doc Love, high school sports color analyst for 92.1 Big Country FM. Now, I want to talk about the CMAC for a sec, Doc. Fowler and PW, they actually meet tomorrow night, ideally for the CMAC championship. Both teams enter that matchup 6-0. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, we're calling that game, actually, Al.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a big one, man.
Oh, man, this is a big one. We had two big games this year for sure. We knew DeWitt St. John's, that's always a big one. And then this one, PW, Bama Westphalia Pirates at Fowler Eagles. We're calling that game. It's a big one. It's, you know, like you said, 6-0, both of these teams. These are run-oriented squads. They're going to throw it, or they're going to run it down your throat. They got some big running backs, some fast backs. They'll just either run you over or just run around you. Fowler, Austin Cook, the senior running back, he's a big dude. He's about 6'1", 230. He can run you over. He can run away from you. It doesn't really matter. You're talking about PW. They got a sophomore running back, Jared Smith. This guy's got like 20 total touchdowns and well over 1,000 yards rushing. It's going to be a war of attrition down there in the out of the trenches, Al, because both these teams got some really big offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They'll switch back and forth. And whoever can create some holes tomorrow is going to be the whoever's going to pull that one out. Because and it's always seen CMAC comes down to Fowler and PW. It seems like it's always those two teams at the top. And we thought maybe Langsburg was going to try and step up this year. Maybe Fulton. No, here we are again. Pirates and Eagles. And it's towns that don't really like each other, Al. I mean, the people, they don't even get along.
So there's a big rivalry between these two schools.
Oh, it's a huge one. This is the big one that they look forward to. It's one of those cliches like, oh, if you lose every game this year, as long as you beat Fowler or as long as you beat Cuomo Westphalia, it's okay. So it's one of those real big matchups.
Definitely, certainly, and you guys will be calling. It's going to be big. Folks, definitely tune in tomorrow night on 92.1 Big Country FM for that one. Now, you know, looking at, you know, the history between these two squads, I mean, historically, who's had the upper hand between these two?
You know, it's a toss-up, Al. It's right around 500. I think maybe Fowler has got a little bit of an advantage over Cuomo Westphalia, but it's not a big one. They've been playing each other for a real long time, too, but you know, in like tomorrow's game, it's really a toss-up. You never know who's going to win that one. But you got to give Fowler maybe the overall edge, just a little bit.
Gotcha. All right. Well, you heard it there, folks. It's going to be a good one, folks. Again, we are chatting with Big Country 92.1 FM high school sports color analyst Eric Doc Love. Now, you know, looking at the games, I remember, you know, when we took the air to start the year, of course, that St. John's and East Lansing game over at East Lansing High School. Doc, you and I were talking, you know, before we took the broadcast, and you were saying how you guys, you know, wanted to expand the broadcast and really visit different schools and cover different games and broadcast different games. I mean, what has that new experience ideally been like for you and Jesse?
Well, it's been terrific. You know, people have been very welcoming and they've helped us out if we needed something, if we needed some, you know, phone line or internet or something like that to broadcast with. And people have been great. We've been trying to expand, getting a little bit more into the Lansing area. We're hoping that next week we'll be in Grand Ledge when they play against Holt, which has been a place we've never visited before. Mm-hmm. We had never done any Lansing Catholic games before. We called them earlier this year against Portland. So we're trying to get out there, get some other teams going. We've been sticking, you know, generally to Fowler, St. John's, DeWitt, Cuomo Westphalia. You know, we've been sticking to the Clinton County, maybe a little bit of the surrounding area. So we're trying to get back into that Lansing area now, trying to get some of those Lansing schools. It's been great, Al. We've had a blast.
I can only imagine. Now, you know, some of those games, of course, you know, St. John's and East Lansing Catholic, Lansing Catholic in Portland, Fulton and Fowler, Hazlitt and DeWitt. I mean, what's been the most memorable game for you so far this year?
It's probably St. John's DeWitt, honestly. That game was tight from the very beginning. It looked like St. John's was going to run away early, actually. They were up 10-0 after the first quarter, and then all of a sudden that DeWitt Panther defense just kind of shut them down. And they didn't get any more points to the Red Wings the rest of that game. It was 16-10 was the final. It was real close. The stands were packed. There was a couple hundred people standing, room-only area out there in St. John's. It was a real big game. It was, you know, whoever was going to win this was probably going to win the CAAC Red Division. Mm-hmm. So that was probably been the best one this year we've had. But tomorrow might top it, Al. You never know.
Wow. That's great. Now, you know, looking at this whole season for you, and Eric, I mean, you do an amazing job. I sometimes have to keep up with you, man, because you're so good, I tell you. How in the world did you get into doing analyst, you know, color analyst for high school sports?
Well, I went to Central Michigan for broadcasting, and I always loved sports. And I was like, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be in Sports Center, or you know, I wanted to call games or something like that. And I started working for a Big Country 92.1. I was just kind of board operating and doing stuff behind the scenes and producing and such like that. And like a couple years ago, 3 years ago, they're like, well, we're going to start doing football and high school basketball as well. And they're like, you want to do that? I'm like, this is perfect. I absolutely want to do this. And they kind of gave me the reins and they're like, okay, this is your baby. You know, you can set up the matchups that you want, and you want to set up which teams you want to go against, and we want to call all that kind of stuff. So they kind of gave me the ability to do this, and I just kind of ran with it, and it's been great. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to be calling a couple of state basketball championships. We called the DeWitt State Final last year against Zeeland West for football. So it's been awesome, man. It's been a great experience.
And, you know, of course, you're working with Jesse over there, who also does an outstanding job. I mean, the chemistry between you two, how is it working with Jesse?
Oh, Jesse's fantastic. He's professional, but we have a lot of fun during the broadcast. It might be 56 to 18, and we're still having a good time. We're still talking about things. We're still keeping it interesting. Jesse does such a great job. You know, he does the Lansing Lugnuts during the summertime, too, and he kind of transitions. This is kind of his off season, calling football and basketball. It's just a lot of fun. We get out there, we have a good chemistry, and we, you know, we can banter back and forth and poke fun at each other a little bit, too, while we're at it, and it's a lot of fun. Jesse does a great job.
And you know what? You talk about that chemistry, Doc. You know, I have a lot of students. With us being on campus here at Michigan State, I have a lot of students that come to me. I remember, you know, my first, you know, I guess you can say, you know, broadcasting gig was actually as a student at Michigan State University for the Big Ten Network Student U, calling MSU baseball. That was my first gig. And, you know, a lot of students come to me, you know, who are you know, a part of the Student U still. And they say, Al, I mean, how do you develop chemistry with, you know, whoever you're working with on the air? For you, if you could give them any piece of advice, you know, having the experience that you and Jesse have and working with him over time, how do you develop chemistry over time with whoever you're partnering with on the air?
Well, I mean, you just got to be open, be honest with people, and just have a lot of fun with them. You don't really have to, you know, you don't have to get too intense with people and, like, get, you know, oh, this is a job, man. We gotta do it this way. We gotta do it this way. Just have a lot of fun, man. Just, you know, get to know people. It's nice when, with Jesse and I, we didn't really know each other a lot. We did a little work with Lugnuts when I was running the board op for him, and then he was doing the announcing. We talked a little bit in between and, you know, got to know each other a little bit. But it's nice to, when we get to go out on a road trip or something, and we go to a longer place, and you're riding in the car together and just talking about stuff. So, you know, have some common interests, people, and just have fun, man. It's fun, dude. It's, you know, you get paid to talk about sports. That's awesome. I mean, come on.
It's a dream, baby. It's a dream. That's what I always say, man. If you're not having fun doing this job, you need to change your profession, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt. All right. Well, Doc, before I let you get out of here, you know I got to bring this up. Now, You are a very, very avid Michigan fan. Yes.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
You knew I was going to put you on the spot, baby. Yes, you are a very avid fan of the maize and blue. And I want to get your perspective, because it's very rare where we get to have a fan perspective of what exactly, you know, a fan feels about this Michigan program and what is exactly taking place throughout this season. For you, I mean, how do you feel about what has gone on from, you know, the Brady Hoke notions of him being fired and, you know, to the AD Dave Brandon, to that whole situation with Shane Morris, and not to mention the fact that Michigan has truly struggled on the gridiron? I mean, from a fan's perspective, what in the world is going wrong, and what is your take on it?
I mean, if you can sum it up in one word, I think frustration is the biggest one that you can pull out of that one. Just pure frustration. I don't really know. I was a fan of Hulk when they signed him. I liked the hiring of Rich Rod before that. I actually enjoyed, but, you know, they kind of struggled with his offense and his kind of scheme. I think maybe they kind of let him go a little bit too early, to be honest with you. I like Brady Hoke. You know, they always say, oh, he's a Michigan man. It's always great to have a Michigan man. I mean, honestly, I wanted Les Miles when they were trying to get guys in, bring guys in.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hoke's done okay.
Do you think he's done after this year, Doc?
You know what? I'm leaning probably towards he might be. I can imagine them giving him one more year, possibly, if they can find a way to win some more ball games. I know it was nice that they won against Penn State at home this past weekend. They managed to score some points on offense, too. That was nice for them to change. But, you know, I think they might give him one more year. A lot of people like to blame Dave Branney, athletic director, about, you know, having all these issues, and maybe he's not the right man for the job either, but I don't know. But the whole concussion thing with Shane Morris, that one was a little murky. I didn't even get to watch that game. I was busy with some other stuff with the family, but yeah, I don't know. He might get one more year, Hulk. It's been a frustration, that's for sure. The switching back and forth between quarterbacks, and maybe Gardner should be there, maybe Morris. I don't know. The biggest frustration probably is offensive line. You think about Michigan, you think about all those great offensive linemen that have gone through that university.
Yeah.
And they can't block. I mean, they just can't block anybody. It's weird.
It is very weird. And also, you know, what really stood out to me was, you know, there's been a few games this season where you would look at the Big House and you look up in the stands, and it's kind of just eerie, just kind of dead. I mean, I've never seen that before. And, you know, throughout my entire, you know, years on this earth watching the Michigan football program, Do you think this moment right here in this year is the worst you've experienced as a U of M fan?
You know, it's pretty close up there. That first year with Rich Rod, the team did really poorly.
Yeah.
They were trying to switch. They didn't really have a quarterback that could run the offense. The defense was really kind of different. They had different personnel for what they wanted to run. But honestly, this might have been the biggest one. I've been a Michigan football fan since I was maybe like 6 or 7. And, yeah, I can never remember the stands not being full. Every Saturday there, you know, in Ann Arbor, down there at the Big House, it was always full. There was always a bunch of people there, no matter how good the team was. But, I mean, they were playing better than it seemed like
right.
all those times through. So, you know, maybe this year probably been the biggest frustration. It's just been kind of building up because the first year with Brady Hoke, he did such a good job. They won the Sugar Bowl. Everything, it looked like they were going to turn things around. Everything was going to be okay. And it's been downhill every year since.
Well, we will certainly see how this season pans out. There's still a lot of weeks left in the college football season. Again, Eric Doc Love, high school sports color analyst for 92.1 Big Country FM. Again, Eric, remind the folks what game you guys are broadcasting. It's a big one tomorrow, and how they can tune in and listen.
Yeah, it's a big one is for certain, Al. 6:45 p.m. is the pregame kickoff, 92.1 Big Country, right there on your FM dial. Kawama, Westphalia, Pirates at Fowler Eagles. This is going to be probably the biggest game of the year, at least for us. We thought it was going to be St. John's DeWitt. It might be this one. This one might be even bigger. It's going to be a blast, man.
Tune in, folks. Tune in. Eric and Jesse do a great job. Hey, Doc, thanks a lot for joining me today, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Al.
Gotta love Eric. Eric Doc Love, again, high school sports color analyst for 92.1 Big Country FM. That's going to be one heck of a game tomorrow, folks. Again, following PW. For the C-MAC Championship, they both enter 6-0. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show by going into our current sports time machine and seeing what happened on this Thursday in sports history. That's right, Throwback Thursday is coming right at you. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, well, we have less than 10 minutes left in the show, just in time for our Throwback Thursday segment, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. That's right, Throwback Thursday starts right now.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman, back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots, yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, that's right. It's Throwback Thursday. Throwback, not throwback. Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports. This Thursday, October 16th. Sometimes I just can't talk. All right. Well, let's take a look at what happened on this Thursday. Let's take it back. Let's rewind the clock back to 1946. One of the all-time greats in the game of hockey. You know, Mr. Hockey. You know, some call him the greatest Red Wing to ever play. Gordie Howe. Yes, Gordie Howe played his first NHL game on this day back in 1946 for, yes, the Detroit Red Wings. How about that? All right, let's dial it up now to 1960. The National League voted to admit Houston and New York into the league. How about that? It was the first structural change since 1900. How about that? So that's certainly a big moment. All right, in 1971, Norm Ullman of the Toronto Maple Leafs recorded his 1,000th point in a 5-3 loss to the New York Rangers. In 1972, everybody loves this guy, right? How can you not? Cool Joe. Joe Namath. He was on the cover of Time Magazine. 1991, Roy Tarpley of the Dallas Mavericks. He became the seventh player to be banned from the National Basketball Association for life. For life. So I guess him and Donald Sterling have something in common now. Under the league's anti-drug agreement. So two different circumstances here. But Roy Tarpley, Dallas Mavericks, seventh player to be banned from the NBA. All right, 1992. This was an historic moment and has a local feel. Yes, it's Lansing's favorite son, Irvin Magic Johnson. Magic played his first professional game since coming out of retirement. Of course, he announced that he had acquired the HIV virus and returned to basketball in 1992. This is an historic moment. Again, that took place today as well. In 1996, boy, this is a sad one. In Guatemala City, at least 84 people died and 147 were injured when a stampede of soccer fans occurred before the 1998 World Cup qualifying match between Guatemala and Costa Rica. Man, that's a very, very sad day. Again, that took place in 1996. And in 2003, two NHL games ended in a scoreless tie for the first time since December 30th, 1934. Not one, but two ended in a tie. The games were Atlanta at the New York Rangers and Philadelphia at San Jose. All right, let me check my notes here. Do I have any more here? Oh, yeah, 1969, the New York Mets, the Miracle Mets is what they call them. They completed an amazing season as they defeated the powerful Baltimore Orioles 5-3 in Game 5 of the World Series to win their first ever championship. Again, that took place in 1969. And in 2003, Yankees' Aaron Boone, the 11th inning homer versus Red Sox's Tim Wakefield to win the AL pennant. How about that? It's a busy, busy Thursday. Alex, you got any more?
The only one I have, it's not even that local, but one birthday I thought was significant, Manute Bol.
It's Manute Bol's birthday?
You being an NBA guy. Yeah.
Wow. And Manute, I think Manute actually sadly passed away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sadly passed away. Manute was one of those guys. I mean, he was really, you know, one of the first freakishly tall NBA guys. He sadly passed away early. You know, it's so crazy because there's a lot of you know, folks, if you research the history of you know, some of the tallest people ever in the history of humankind, those who have been, you know, freakishly tall like that, I mean, their lifespans are not that long. But Manute Bol, I mean, he was one of the first guys that had a lot of people turn their head just how tall he was. I mean, there's a famous picture with him and then point guard Muggsy Bogues. If you haven't seen it, it's one of those pictures you kind of smirk at just looking at the crazy height differential. Muggsy Bogues is one of the shortest NBA players to ever play, while Manute Bol was, of course, the exact opposite. So much happening on today's Throwback Thursday. Again, folks, as we're running out of time here, I want to remind you all that you can catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10 p.m. I sit down with the great Jamel Hill. Yes, Jamel Hill, an MSU alum who now works for the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. She is the co-host of Numbers Never Lie. Numbers Never Lie, folks, which you can catch on ESPN2 each and every morning. I believe it starts at, is it noon? I think it's noon. So each and every afternoon. So right before Current Sports, catch Numbers Never Lie. But, you know, Jamel being named Grand Marshal of the MSU Homecoming Parade, she took some time out her busy, busy schedule throughout that weekend to sit down with me and about 90 of you great audience members who attended that audience. So you don't want to miss that. This is going to be a fantastic one again tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Can't believe that Friday is right around the corner, folks, but yes, it is. I want to extend a thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic Thursday, and be easy, people.